to see everybody out this evening. It's always a blessing and encouragement to be able to come together to study as we had this opportunity to do so. Singing that song that we just got done singing, I feel like I could just focus on that song and finish with a lesson and put a bunch of other verses in here. But it's just that as you think about my mindset goes to, of course, is the song themes around with our Lord and Savior in the ship, lying asleep, and storm going forth, and disciples are scared. Disciples were afraid with what is going on in their life, and so they come to Jesus, and they ask him, "Do you not care?" And Jesus is able to come up, and he calmed the storm, calmed the wind, calmed the waves, and he says, "Oh, you of little faith. Well, why do you lack? Why are you scared? Why are you afraid?" Today we go through life and we have a variety of different storms in which we all face. We have trials and tribulation. We have many things that sadly cause fear to come upon us. Because sometimes we just don't focus on what our Lord and Savior can do for us. So I'd like to take time aside this evening to look at peace and how it is we can receive peace through our Lord and Savior. And the first thing I want to do is, in that scenario of thinking about life in itself, life and all the worries that we get caught up and stressing out about, or we allow to overcome us and pull us in a variety of directions when we have a path that our Lord and Savior has set for us. And so just looking at a few things, we talk about work. And how that can stress us out, how that can bother us, because when we talk about work, we talk about money, we talk about how much we should make, and, you know, the time we have to set aside, and just so much goes into it. But when we become Christians, again, in almost every scenario that you can come up with, and I would say every scenario, I know it's not always a black and white picture, as we've been talking about in the adult classes we did this morning, we'll continue in. Come Wednesday, that there's some things that go on within a variety of opinions or a gray matter that God doesn't say thou shalt do this or thou shalt, but he gives us a direction though. He does give us a point of direction in which we go. And even with work, we talk about that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. Here it tells us that we should be working. It's something that we have to be willing to go forth and do. And the attitude is what we're going to talk about just for a moment also. 2 Thessalonians 3 in verse 10 says, "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat." And so when we get caught up in worrying about money, we get caught up in worrying about work. And here's a point that we can come to is, well, we do have to work. We do have to make sure that we are doing our part as we live our life, that we provide. And we know that the Bible tells us, he who does not provide for his family, for his own, is worse than an unbeliever. You know, we have to be willing to provide and go forth and work. And when you turn to Colossians 3, in verse 23, there it talks about our attitude as we serve others, as we do this work. And here it tells us, it says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." And so, again, how we're supposed to go about it. And I know we're talking about a peace in mind, a peace at stake that I want to kind of draw it into conclusion of. And sometimes, well, you know, well, we don't always have peace because we're worried about whether we keep the job. But here again, as a Christian, God commands us to work. And God expects us to provide for us own. And God tells us how we're supposed to go forth and work. And we can open up other scriptures and look at examples of good, hard-working people. We can turn to Proverbs 31 and look at the virtuous woman and see how hard-working she was. And go forth and look at all these examples. And it will guide us into how we should be acting. And when we say, "I'm going to do it the way God has commanded me to do it. I'm going to go find a job." And sometimes it's not the best thing, but it's going to work out because we have a mindset, well, I'm doing what God has told me to do. I'm doing it how God has commanded me to do it, and therefore it's going to work its way out. Because God is guiding us in the right direction, and God is going to provide for us. God is going to make sure that you have the things that you need as we fulfill his commands, as we keep on doing as he has told us, because we work life to provide, to have food, to have clothes, to make sure that our family is taken care of. And so we turn to Matthew chapter 6.
In Matthew chapter 6, if you turn along with me there, in Matthew 6 and in verse 25, Matthew 6 and verse 25, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap nor give into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they?" And so he goes forth and talks about the birds, he talks about the lilies of the field and how he clothes them. Verse 31 says, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." Again, here brings out that God knows that that's what you need. God knows that you need to make your payment on the house this month. God knows that clothes are getting worn out. God knows you need food for the table. God knows these things. And again, just because God knows, it's not saying don't pray to Him. We're still to pray and still to seek out His guidance, to still study His Word. And that's what it's telling us in verse 33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Go forth and put God first in your life. And as we put God first in our lives and we're walking the lifestyle that He has commanded us to do so, meaning we're willing to work, we're willing to seek a job, we're willing to take the job that maybe at this time and point is not what you want, but it's what you get, and you take it and you work until you can move up or you can get a different spot, and you'll have what you need. It's not saying that God's going to make it just appear on your table right then and there when you get home, just magic. God's going to provide. He's going to take care of you. And when things get so hard that you can't go forth and work, you get laid off, something happens, then we can study through the scriptures and see that how He established the church. Go to Acts chapter 2 and see how when the church began and everybody was baptized, they were added to the kingdom, that they sold their possessions and gave to one another to make sure that everybody was being provided for. We can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and see how that's what we're supposed to be doing, is that upon the first day of the week, let everybody lay by in store. Why? Concerning the saints. Concerning the saints. Concerning our love for one another. So we're going to be taken care of. We're going to be taken care of. And we get caught up in worrying about our friends and who it is we're hanging out with and whether or not we fit in. And again, as we look to the Word of God, it'll help us not worry so much about it, because it's going to tell us we're not going to get along with everybody, and we have to be willing to accept that. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us and warns us about who our friends are. It says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." And so here it's saying, don't be friends with certain people. Then we go to John and read about Jesus and Him telling us that the world is going to hate us. Why? Because they hated Him first. And so we don't have to worry about everybody accepting us. Now we should try to get along with everybody. Live as peacefully as much as possible. It depends on you. Live peacefully with everyone. All right, that's command. That's what we're supposed to do. But God also tells us that's not always going to be the case. And so we have to be willing to know right and wrong friends. Know that these people are just simply going to be in that bad influence. I've tried to ask them to stop. I've invited them to study with me. They're not willing to change. And we have to make that decision and say, look, as long as you're going to be doing that, I'm not going to hang around you while you're doing it. Because we don't want it to rub off on us. In Proverbs 17 and verse 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." And so, again, here it tells us how great a friendship can be. Right? That when you do find the right friend, one who's truly going to be concerned for your soul, concerned for your life, want what's best for you, willing to tell you the truth, even though it might hurt, that friend is one that's worth having. That's the friend that we should be striving to have. We go forth and how friendships sometimes end up being your spouse. That's the one you end up marrying sometimes. And talking about the worries about dating. Again, God guides us in that direction. And He kind of points us in the direction of, well, this is what we should be looking for if we're in that dating stage. And if you are married, this is what you should be striving to do, and not just focused on, well, this is what she should be doing, and this is what he should be doing, but studying the scripture and saying, this is what I should be doing. And if I am doing my part as the head of the house, as the Bible tells me in Ephesians 6, and that I am leading as I ought to, and I love my wife as Christ has loved the church, then that's going to help my marriage. That's going to help us get to the right spot, and I'm going to help her become the wife, the woman that she's supposed to be that virtuous woman, because I'm leading like I should be. In the same aspect that we can turn to the women as they are submitting to their husbands, as they are letting and loving them and respecting them and being the virtuous woman that we read about in Proverbs 31. And going forth, even as we could study the scriptures, whether it's the wife or the husband, that if you have an unfaithful spouse, that you could, by your example, lead them to the Word of God, lead them to the church. And so when we get caught up in worrying, well, how's this supposed to work out? What am I supposed to be doing? God guides us in the direction. God has scriptures in which we can open up and turn to for guidance, for help. And again, in all these situations, always there for us to go to in prayer. We can be always taking these things to God in prayer and looking to Him for help. And it should give us peace knowing that God is in control of all these things, that God is there to guide us in all these things, that God has given us scripture to study in all these things, and even talking about our kids and as parents of what we should be doing. We read further into Ephesians, getting into chapter 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You go to Proverbs 22 and verse 6 there, and you can see that it says, train up your child while they are young, and when they get older, that they won't depart from it. Again, that just kind of general mindset and hope. It's not saying it's always going to be the case. There are those who are going to fall away. But if we train them right, as God has instructed, as we follow His path, we should have peace in our hearts, peace in our mind, knowing I raised my children the right way. I studied the Bible with them at home. I prayed with them at home. I guided them. I counseled them. I brought them to services. I took them to Bible class. I let them hang out with other Christian kids. We have confidence that our kids are going to turn out okay because we did what was right as we followed the scriptures. Because God is guiding us in how to have peace in all these areas. Help us knowing and having hope that everything is going to turn out right and okay. Because the Lord is guiding us and directing us in the right way, even as we might get caught up in worrying about the government. And again, this is a mindset that as we turn, knowing that God is in control, that God is the one that has established authority in governments. Romans 13, verse 1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment, for rulers are not terror of good conduct, but bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. And again, it's not saying everybody who gets put in a position of governing authority is going to guide right and going to rule by the right decisions, make laws that abide by God's word. But in general concept, governing authorities are there to punish the bad and to assist the good. And so we have to have faith and peace knowing that God is in control, that God did establish this, that we have to look for the good that's in there. And of course, we are so blessed here in this country to be able to have the opportunity to vote and do things to help and participate. And so, but it should give us peace in all these situations, in life situations. And you can think of writing more of which goes along with this point here, that as we follow God and we look to Him, it should comfort us. Again, with that the last two Sundays talking about God having all this power, and God and everything that He has done, that God can control His power over sickness. God has the power to forgive our sins and give us hope and to be holy. God is there to take care of us also. And so it gives us peace over life, but also peace through Christ with our sins and being forgiven and hope of heaven. And we have peace through our Lord and Savior. John chapter 16 and verse 33. John chapter 16 and in verse 33. As it reads here, it says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Here Jesus is telling them in verse 32, behold, the hour is coming indeed that has come. You will be scattered, each into his own home, and will leave me alone. Here he first tells them, you guys are going to go, you're going to leave me. You're going to go scatter. You're going to go everywhere else. Okay, that don't sound like a good situation. But then he says, I tell you these things so that you may have peace. So when the storm calls, you will have peace. He says, you're going to have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. The world is going to hate you, but take heart, be at peace. I have overcome the world. Again, the calm that should come with that, that God is in control. That God has overcome. He has authority over all things in heaven and on earth. In Philippians chapter 4, and I believe one of the songs that referenced this, Philippians chapter 4 in verses 6 through 9. Philippians 4 starting then in verse 6. As it reads here, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It says, don't get caught up in worrying about the things of the world, but anything that is pure and praiseworthy, anything that is good, anything that is heavenly, meditate on those things. And let the peace of God be within you. Let it comfort you. Again, God can give us that. God can let us be at ease. He can let us rest easy. You don't have to stay up worrying all night long, knowing God is in control, knowing that God is there for you. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Again, the fruits of the Spirit, one of them is what? It's peace. One of the things we gain as we study the seed, the Word of God, what the Holy Spirit has given to us, we'll gain peace. As we teach it to others, we'll help produce peace. You see somebody that is stressing out, that is worrying, that is suffering, that is hurting, God is the answer. God can comfort. God is a God of comfort, God of peace, and there is no greater person to comfort and give somebody peace. Our God is the one we need to be turning to. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And looking at verse 11 here, it says, finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and the peace will be with you. Greet one another with holy kiss. All the saints greet you. Here it talks about the brethren. He just talks about how they need to be one, how they need to be there for each other, comforting one another, agreeing with one another. And what's that going to do? Living in peace with each other. Again, not just peace with God, but peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing we're there for each other. Knowing you got somebody, as we turn to James 5, we can see that we can go forth and confess our trespasses to one another, because they're going to pray for us, they're going to assist us, they're going to study with us, they're going to help us overcome these things. Again in Colossians, here it speaks about us turning to our brethren and allowing them to assist us. Colossians 3, in verse 15, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Again, it's the peace of Christ ruling our hearts. When you were called in one body. That's the church. Again, when we come here, this should be one of the most peaceful places we come to. Knowing that we come here not to be judged by our brethren. Knowing when we come here, we come to be strengthened, to be admonished sometimes, to be built up. Knowing that we're with one who loves us, cares for us, is there for us. We have peace through our Lord and Savior. So I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation. I got one last verse. I thought that was the last one. Go ahead and turn there. 1 Peter 3 and verse 11. Here it says, "Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." So I did want that verse there, because it's telling us it's something you do have to seek. Something you have to pursue. You have to be willing to go and get it. Because if we're not seeking it, then what direction are we headed to? Anxiety, worry, anxious, just continues. So let us look the other direction. Let us see where it can lead us and see how much comfort we can gain. If you're here and you need the prayers of the congregation to help comfort you, to gain peace in your heart, if you're here and you've got sin in your life, you need to take care of it, to pray to God, ask for that forgiveness. If you have not been baptized, then be baptized. Wash your sins away. Come up a new person, and you will feel the greatest peace that you've ever felt. If you're here and need any of that, let us assist you in any way that we can as we stand and sing.